Welcome to Insights for Manufacturing, the podcast that supports the UK manufacturing sector. Hosted by Jeff Beecham, the Manufacturers Recruiter.
Hello and welcome to Insights for Manufacturing. I'm delighted to welcome my guest today, Sarah Duff, who is Director at Smart Quality Services and Smart Manufacture. Welcome to the show, Sarah. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm very well, Jeff. It's a pleasure to see you again.
Absolutely. It's been a while. I know we sort of tend to bump into each other at sort of exhibitions and things like that. And I know you're out on the road all the time. So before we get into the questions, how's the last sort of 12 months been for the business?
Yeah. It's been pretty manic, I think. I remember when we last met was one of the shows. It may have been a Connex event, actually, if my memory serves me right. So, yeah, it's been a really busy sort of 12 months, both with both sides of our business, with Smart Quality, with helping companies at all stages of their ISO journey and managing their compliance. And, yes, we do work with manufacturing, but we work with lots of other businesses. We've been inundated with energy management companies recently putting ISO 9001 in. And also sort of managing sort of compliance with sort of our cloud-based software, which is really starting to take off. And then equally Smart Manufacture, that's we've been very, very busy working with a whole range of different manufacturing companies, sort of helping them start on the industry journey towards Industry 4.0, which I know we're going to be talking about during this call. And I think we've just had our last quarter was our best quarter in our 5 years life so far in Smart Manufacture, and we're just onboarding some additional consultants. So yeah, life's busy. It's good.
Fantastic. Well, good to hear that. So let's get into the discussion. So in terms of the quality side of things then, to begin with, what are some of the sort of misconceptions about the implementation of smart quality solutions in manufacturing? I mean, there must be a lot of pitfalls and myths and misunderstandings. Yeah. How do you address all of that?
Yeah, I think one of the obvious ones for small manufacturing companies is when they hear all of, you know, Industry 4.0 and Smart Factory and this various, that a lot of MDs say to me, do you know what, Sarah, it's just really confusing. You know, we haven't grown up with technology. Yeah. It's another language to us. We don't understand it. And therefore, we just think, do we actually want to even start on that journey? You know, let's stick with what we've always known and how we're always doing things. So I think there's a lot of confusion. And there's also a lot of assumptions that, you know, any of these technology solutions are just really destined for larger companies. You know, they're not suited to smaller businesses. And then there's obviously the big concern about skill levels in the business. So even if we do embark working on this technology, who in the business can actually sort of lead, you know, those projects? Then there's obviously assumptions about where's the money going to come from in terms of funding these projects. So there's a, you know, there's a lot of sort of concerns out there. And it is a question of, and I suppose that's what puts us in quite a good position in Smart Manufacture, being an independent manufacturing consultancy. Yes, we work with a range of software platforms, but we are independent. So we can help steer that journey, if you like, in terms of trying to explain what it's all about. And there is a lot of technology out there. It is confusing, even for people like my, you know, myself. I've sort of grown up with technology in a corporate sort of background. It's mind blowing. It's exciting, but there is an awful lot of stuff out there. Where do you start? And that's a big decision for most small manufacturing companies.
I guess it's each business will have its own challenges, its own situation in the market. There'll be different stages of maturity of say digital transformation, or they're sort of whether they've gone sort of cloud-based with their quality. So every day is a different day then for you, I guess.
It's interesting to say about cloud, because if I think back to when we started the business prior to COVID, we used to have lots of discussions with small manufacturers about are your solutions on-prem or are they cloud? And there was a lot of nervousness about, but where's our data going to be? And, we can't see where that data is, and we can't press the button on it, and we can't see the green light. And, we're concerned about that. Versus obviously, during COVID, I think a lot of small manufacturers who didn't have their systems in the cloud, then saw other companies that were more able to effectively operate when they were working offsite. Yeah. And therefore the discussions we started having after sort of the first phase of COVID, it was almost like, we don't really need to have this conversation anymore. We get what cloud's all about. We wouldn't want anything otherwise. Unless, of course, you know, if you're in a very, very remote area of the UK, and we have got a few like that, where you're not going to, you haven't got the network bandwidth, and therefore you're not going to have the optimal force. Or we've got a small number of companies that work in certain defence and government sectors where it's not their request, but obviously it's their client saying, you've got to have that data locally. But other than that, cloud, you know, software as a service, you pay on a monthly basis, but also no downtime. You know, when you have upgrades from that software, they just get automatically. You don't have to factor in some downtime while you implement those upgrades. So I'm a cloud passionate person. You know, I want to go cloud all the time. But yeah, it's made a lot of things a lot more possible.
Yeah, it's definitely the way forward. So in terms of implementation then of smart quality practices, what are the key challenges for manufacturing professionals help are you giving them?
Yeah, I think a lot of the time is you face companies that, you know, maybe they've grown up from, you know, three people in a garage sort of manufacturing a specific product, or in the case of smart quality, delivering a certain service.
Yeah.
And they've grown, but they haven't taken their business processes with them. And so they're still trying to operate in that same way as when they started their business. Mm. And, it's important, whatever technology you're going to implement. So in our case, when we implement ERP software, rather than going straight for implementing that technology, we always start any project with looking, we call it going under the bonnet, looking at that company, looking at their end-to-end processes, looking at their workflow, and basically making sure that those processes are really optimized and a bit fit first for that business as it's operating today, rather than when it first started off, so that when that technology goes in, it's really configured and set up to meet the most optimized processes. So that's a big challenge. Obviously, the other challenge you have, and I'm thinking about a current client that we're working with, is sometimes companies who, most of the small manufacturing companies we're working with, you know, it's still virtually an environment of spreadsheets. You know, multiple disparate spreadsheets that have been created by various departmental heads, and the organization isn't really working as a joined up sort of organization. But we do go into a small number of companies who have got some form of existing technology. And sometimes that's a bigger challenge because people get used to working with that piece of technology in a very set way.
Yeah.
And then when you go in our case, with a modern cloud-based ERP platform that will do things, you know, in a very different way, the one breath they're bemoaning their existing software that it's not actually fit for purpose and they've created all these workaround spreadsheets. The next minute you're talking about how a modern cloud-based ERP system will work, and then, but that's going to do it differently. And sometimes you get that natural human resistance, you know, to change. None of us really like change. Sometimes that can be more difficult, and we can overcome it. And, you know, there are individuals that are worried that, is this technology, well, hang on, why is this being brought in? Is this going to replace me? You know, is it a bit like turkeys voting for Christmas here? You know, is this the right thing I should be doing, or should I be digging my heels in and opposing this? But sooner or later, you know, we can work, you know, we work with them, and it's important to get everybody in there, and that's the really big thing. Yes, it's one thing to having the MD and the directors on board, but we always make sure with any project, we've got all of the functional stakeholders from the outset, and we bring them with us, because I think most companies, most employees will say, well, we understand why the business is going in this direction, but what difference is it going to make to me in my job? And as long as you can show that it's going to make things easier for them, it's going to automate and take away sort of, let's be fair about it, the dross and mundane of perhaps sometimes keying the same information in three or four different spreadsheets, they're putting it in one system and they can work with their colleagues and other departments, so they haven't got to be keep phoning people or running around the factory to ask questions. It's a more efficient way of working.
Yeah.
So that's some of the challenges.
So down to the communication, really, if you're going to roll anything out or test anything, you've got to communicate properly to your workforce and get them involved to a degree.
Yeah, and take some of their ideas on board as well, because, you know, sometimes the MDs, or they make certain assumptions on their staff. And then sometimes you say, do you know what? You've got some guys over there, you know, let's have them on board early. And maybe they do want to take that opportunity to upskill themselves and be that champion to lead. Yeah. And that's giving them a different dimension to their role.
Yeah.
But sometimes there's a bit of persuasion that needs to go on.
Absolutely. Well, it's sort of like a balance of unpicking some of those previous processes and habits and beliefs, I guess, from existing systems. But the people that are using the current systems day in, day out, they can have some really good ideas about what could
Absolutely.
save a bit of time in the future. So I suppose double-edged sword, what's in it for them? Trying to drag out some of those bad habits, but then communicate the benefits and how they're gonna have an easier life, I guess, with
Absolutely.
the
And I
modern
can think of
technology.
one specific example of a manufacturing company in Wolverhampton. So it doesn't narrow, there's probably quite a few manufacturing companies in Wolverhampton. Excuse me. And we had the MD who is very, very much forward. It's a family business, and a lot of the companies we do work with are family businesses. So this is the second generation. Definitely wanted to change. He was basically bringing in a new set of sort of product configurations. So and we had round the table for our sort of initial day one. We had her. We had all of our key stakeholders. And I always remember this story. There was one of the two sales guys, and he was the more vocal of the two. And his message to me was halfway through the session, "Sorry, I absolutely understand why this business is going for a cloud-based ERP system. I get it. I understand that. But I'm just a bit concerned. What's it going to do with to my role in sales? How it's going to make a difference?" And I said, "Well, you've just explained to me how you're currently doing your role, and you have to key in the same information into three separate spreadsheets." And he's nodding away. "That's absolutely true, Sarah." I said, "Well, it's very simple. Going forward, once you have this MRP system in place, you'll be keying that information in once." Do you know, Jeff, his face lit up and suddenly it was meaningful. And he said, "Oh my God, that's going to save me so much time. That's brilliant news." And the MD from the other side of the table was beaming away that, yeah, that's what was needed. But sometimes it's simple things like that. And I think that's the thing as an external consultant, I suppose it's a lot easier to be challenging. We can say to a business, "So you're doing it in this way, or you've defined your process, but can you explain why you're doing that?" And often the answer is, "We've always done it that way." "Oh, but you mean there's a better way of doing it?" And then you can explain. Now, not all, because obviously nobody will know their business more than they know it. And sometimes there are
Absolutely.
real reasons why they can't change. But the majority of times, it's just nobody had thought about doing it that way. And sometimes we can bring it, because we work with a cross section of manufacturing companies, we can bring it without divulging, obviously, commercial confidentiality. We can give experience from other manufacturers and how they've done it and some of the results. And that's quite powerful.
It's good to be able to share that best practice, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really, really valuable. So what about AI? I mean, everybody's talking about AI these days. Well, they have been probably for the last sort of 5 or 10 years, but it just seems to me that, there's been a step change. It's sort of gone like that. Even stuff like, a lot of people are using ChatGPT for helping them with their marketing and, research and articles and this sort of thing. I've had a little dabble. I've got mixed sort of thoughts on it, but that it does have some uses. But in the wider scheme of things, in terms of manufacturing businesses and sort of quality as well,
Yeah.
what sort of benefits does AI offer, and how do you see,
Yeah.
AI evolving?
A couple of things. So yes, like you, we've just recently experimented it with writing some blog pages, and I was very cynical. And we've had external companies writing content, and then I've ended up having to rewrite the content. And then I was presented by my fellow director, alias my husband, some content, and I thought, wow, really impressed. He spent all this time writing this content, only to find that he'd used an AI tool. I was pleasant. I had to do some refining, but I would have had to do an awful lot of more rework if I'd had somebody externally writing that. So that was my experience. Another experience from one of the platforms, ERP platforms that we work with, MRP Easy. A few months ago, they released Mr. Peasy, which is their sort of web chat AI tool, and we've had some very, very positive feedback from customers on that. But yes, just getting back specifically in terms of quality, I think AI has can play a really big role going forward because of its ability to analyze so much and so high volumes of data and apply learning to that so it can become more accurate and efficient. The opportunity for identifying sort of defects at a much earlier stage, optimizing sort of production and being a lot more efficient than humans doing it. I think there's a huge opportunity. I must admit, I have been quite surprised when I've gone around a number of manufacturing companies and they talk about the sort of inspection and that they do during the process. But it's quite interesting in terms of goods in and raw materials. Whenever we've asked the question about what do you do in terms of inspection of raw materials, they're very quick to say, well, you know, look, you know, we get the delivery note, we compare the quantities on, you know, compared on the purchase order. And then you say, but yes, you know, it's a well-known fact that if you can, you know, identify defects earlier in that production process, it's a lot cheaper to absolutely put those problems right earlier on in the stage. But yeah, I've been quite surprised at how far down that production line those defects seem to, inspection seems to take place. But yeah, AI, a big role going forward.
Do you see, I mean, you mentioned earlier, you know, sometimes it's the sort of larger businesses that are, you know, I think a lot of them are just further ahead. They've got bigger budgets, more resources, and are normally first out of the traps for sort of new technologies and things like that. But in terms of AI, do you think that it's the SMEs and the, you know, the small businesses that are a little bit more reticent to, you know, try some of the new technologies, you know, or do you think that they're, you know, because SMEs are pretty agile, aren't they? They've got to be to survive and adapt. How do you see that at the moment? Where's the sort of gauge, if you like? I think it's easy for somebody like me to say, I'd assume SMEs would be a little bit more cynical, but you know, what are you hearing?
I'm hearing actually, so it's a lot amongst our clients. I think people are, you know, are talking about it, but still mainly at a talking level. I've been on some other sort of manufacturing association calls, and people saying they've been experimenting, certainly with writing marketing material. That seems to be, and the drawbacks, people have been a little concerned about some of these AI tools being used on sort of meet me and virtual meetings, and where that information is being shared back. In terms of sort of using AI in that sort of quality arena, I haven't seen evidence yet. I think there's a lot of talk. Maybe people are still a little bit sceptical sometimes in terms of the security aspects. So I don't have any direct sort of customer experience within the SME market. I'm sure in mid to corporates, it's certainly being sort of explored in those areas.
Yeah. And Industry 4 in general, I mean, you know, integrating smart quality practices is, you know, it can't help but have a positive impact on performance for manufacturing businesses. How do you see smart quality shaping the future of manufacturing in the UK?
I think it is a really exciting time at Industry 4.0. I mean, there's so much technology, you know, whether it's cobots, it's AI, you know, it's cloud-based, it's mobile applications. And I think that full connected world, as we used to call it from my oil and gas background, that everything, all of your devices, all of your systems, everybody talking in an open architecture to make sure that everybody has got access to that, you know, that real-time data. And with ERP systems, we say it's probably the first stage of joining, of an organization joining or starting on that ladder, if you like, to Industry 4.0. It's the first time an organization is starting to join up different departments and collaborate. I think the skill, it's going to change skill levels. I mean, I think the cobots, and you know, is definitely, there's a fear in terms of where's people's jobs going to go. I think it's going to be more about upskilling and changing skills, but I think critical thinking, problem solving, some of those skills are going to be I think somebody said to me recently about manufacturing looking more at skill sets of data scientists and even hiring people that are data scientists to come and absolutely analyze all of this data that's going to be available. So I think it is a really exciting time, as long as companies sort of go forward on that step and embrace it, and probably do it a stage by stage as well. You know, it isn't a big bang. They've got to do everything in one go. As long as they build a strategy, I think that's the most important thing. Yeah. Know and have that technology that's actually aligned to the business. That's really important, so that everybody buys it. And that comes back to the people side as well, that everybody buys into that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting the point you made about the, you know, the data scientist skill set. I mean, you know, there are so many devices and systems to extract data and big data, but without the capability to interpret that, prioritize it, interpret it, feed that all back in, I suppose, yeah, a few years down the line, AI will probably be doing all of that as well. But you know, until then, we've got to have people that are making those decisions with the help of AI to move the business forward. So, you know, going
And I
back.
think you've got to have the right MDs as well that are leading those businesses that do want to champion that change. That's the most important thing. I think we learned that very early on that we got a lot of introductions to MDs of small manufacturing companies and people who were Lean or Six Sigma consultants who absolutely saw this organization needs to sort of get on that ladder, start with putting in a decent ERP system. They need to bring in smart manufacture. But we had some of those MDs that were very, you know, arms folded. It was almost like, oh, I don't really see, it's probably a step too far. I can't really see how this is going to really dynamically change the business. Or is it going to cost too much money? I don't have the resources. And we learned very early on to try and persuade those people if that we call it a closed mindset. If they had that closed mindset and they weren't open to looking at the benefits that changing their organization could bring to them, it was almost a hopeless task from us that we could burn an awful lot of hours. So all that we look at is that open mindset. They don't need to understand the technology. That's what we'd like to think we do, but we need somebody that's got that willingness to change and that willingness to drive change through their organization.
Absolutely. So in terms of smart manufacturing, then there are a number of, you know, technologies and core principles, if you like. So for the benefit of the listeners or the viewers, how would some of the sort of technologies and core principles that are on the market now, how do they differ from some of the traditional manufacturing approaches then? What are the most sort of popular areas, do you think, at the moment?
Yeah, I think one big area is in terms of, I think in traditional manufacturing, you'd have a lot of dependence and a lot of reliance on having knowledge from experienced individuals within the business. Yeah. And we've seen that with small manufacturers that, you know, Joe Bloggs knows this particular area, or he's worked in this business for 20, 25 years. Yeah. But then when Joe Bloggs is off sick or on holiday, you know, that particular function can grind to a halt.
Yeah.
Whereas with smart, the whole principle behind smart manufacturing is that you have that dependence on information that's in systems that are accessible and open to everybody, so that anybody in the business can access that information, and you don't have those single point of contacts within the organization then that can become single point of failure to the organization when they're not around. So that's one big definite change. I think in terms of maintenance of equipment, whereas, you know, traditionally you might run equipment almost till it's, you know, it's on its last legs.
Sweating the assets.
sweating the assets. Or, my gosh, we can't do that. We can't risk downtime. Oh, we're going to swap in parts before they even need to be swapped. So there was a cost incurred much earlier than it needed to be. Now with sort of real-time equipment monitoring, you know, you don't have that same disruption, but you're only replacing those assets when they need to be. So that's another sort of big area. And I think in terms of connectivity, you know, you would have that information with point-to-point connections. With this completely always on, always connected organization, that information should be flowing around the organization and available to everybody that has access to it wherever they are, whether they're in the factory. I mean, we're seeing also a lot of people now looking at extending that communication.
Mm.
So not only making sure that communication is efficient within the organization, but out to the supply chain, out to customers. So one of our ERP platforms that we work with, MRP Easy, has just announced, in fact, today, their launch of their customer portal. So this extends their organization and their ERP out to their customers, so they can push specific pricing catalogs, but also they can be more responsive to their customer requirements. So I think, again, that's the difference. Whereas communication would have been internally within the organization, now it's extending out so you can get more optimized working with your suppliers at one end, and obviously more configuration and more customization with your customers at the other end.
So you meant, I was going to ask you about the, you know, the sort of range of benefits of smart manufacturing. You just covered a few there in terms of, you know, greater customer success, customer engagement. We've got efficiency improvements, speed of getting stuff produced or products, new products into market. What other things, where else would manufacturing businesses benefit from, you know, embracing smart manufacturing? I mean, you know, we've got the skills thing, that's an ongoing problem, obviously, but what else, what other areas If I was a CFO or an FD, for example, thinking, there's going to be a cost attached to all of this, but where are the benefits? What other things haven't we mentioned yet that you could see clear benefits for manufacturing?
I think, as we said, the efficiency and the productivity, we've talked about the individuals, so getting more value out of your team. So taking that sort of drossy, dangerous, in some cases dangerous and monotonous activities, and getting your workforce to be, able to be, providing you've got them upskilled in terms of different tasks to do. And I think we talked about the skills gap. I think, sometimes manufacturers, have a difficulty in actually getting the younger generation enthused about working, and especially as they can't always offer them the benefits that other organizations can of flexible working. I think with small manufacturers, and I know because I've got quite a few small manufacturers localized to me in Dorset, and they always suffer from the Amazon warehouse that's up the road, and Lush also being able to offer, more attractive benefits. Whereas some of these small manufacturing companies, if they can embrace technology at the outset, then certainly they become more attractive to that younger generation who, let's be fair, have grown up with technology. So I think it's certainly a good aspect in terms of encouraging youngsters to come in. I think there's a huge range. Obviously, we've talked about the customer side, the supply chain. And sometimes making those factories more safer workplaces as well. Eliminating some of those sort of danger zones that perhaps humans wouldn't see, but obviously automation can pick up some of those areas. So I think it's an all-rounded set of benefits. And I think really small manufacturers, that it's no longer, well, we're going to struggle, in terms of if we don't adopt this technology. I think it's a question of whether they will still survive. I mean, we've had small manufacturers approaching us saying they've wanted to punch above their weight. They've got some really exciting products that they manufacture, but they've had customers come in to do, an unofficial audit of their facility, and I've just highlighted to say, actually, you're not showing us the level of innovation and the efficiency that we expect from our suppliers. If you had all of the, you could demonstrate this, then we'd be, wanting to work with you. So some of those companies are being hindered because they don't have those efficient ways of working.
So it could have a real boost for their competitive edge, couldn't it? Winning tenders, winning work that they might
Absolutely.
lose. Interesting point you made as well about the skills and getting all youngsters into manufacturing. There's a load of people commentating regularly across LinkedIn and various other platforms about this outdated perception of what manufacturing is. And I think it's, so we've got the two areas. So a lot of people have got an outdated opinion of what manufacturing looks like. But then when you add in what you've just said about, a lot of the kids, the younger generation now have grown up with technology. So if you've got, it's almost like a double negative whammy, isn't it? You've got an outdated perception of manufacturing. And then if you've got manufacturers that aren't embracing new technology either, that's got to be a huge part of the problem, hasn't it? I know there's, schools and teachers and parents need to get with it as well. But I mean that when you look at it, when I look at it like that, it's almost, it smacks me in the face. We need to drag manufacturing forward, and a lot of manufacturers are, they're investing and they're getting with the modern times. But there are still an awful lot of businesses
Yeah,
out
no, there
there
are.
that aren't really helping themselves. And I think it's just down to educating them as to what's available. It doesn't have to cost the earth, and
No.
these are the benefits.
And I think it's there. I mean, we've seen even over the last 6 to 12 months. I mean, obviously, you've got programs like Made Smarter. You have a program, I don't know if it's still in existence, but I was involved in a couple of webinars they did, Digital Manufacturing on a Shoestring, which sums up what it's all about. You don't have to spend vast amounts of money. There's off-the-shelf sort of devices. You can start small as long as you've got that overall goals and you've identified what some of your challenges. And that's what we always do when people come to us and say they're looking for an ERP system. Why? Why are you looking at for this? What are the driving factors rather than, well, I just want this technology because the business down the road has got it. There's got to be a clear plan of action. And sometimes it starts small. It's walk before you can run. It doesn't all have to be the big bang. As long as you've you've put the right architecture, you've got systems that are in, that you use a system that's got an open API, so you can connect with some other third-party software further down the line as and when you need it. But yes, I think there's a lot of campaigns now to raise awareness. I think we're certainly seeing a lot more awareness now than even when we did sort of 5 years ago when we started the business. But there's still pockets of manufacturers out there that, for whatever reason, don't think that technology is suitable for them. They think they can't afford it, when there are quite a few different grant funding programs, just dependent on where, and some regions in the UK are better off than others. And there's a lot of support out there, not just from independent consultants like ourselves, but from, various academic organizations, other sort of independent manufacturing consultants. So there is help. You've just got, sometimes it's not always easy to navigate where to find that help. But there are a lot of supporting programs out there now.
I guess it helps if you've got the enthusiasm to at least look and find out in the first place. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, no,
There's plenty of
absolutely.
help
But
out there.
and I think manufacturers as well, certainly localized, that which tends to be their networks, they will talk to fellow manufacturers and find out what they're doing and use their advice. So I think gradually the message is getting across. But there's still a fair bit of work still to do in that area.
There is. Okay, well, Sarah, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today about smart manufacture systems and smart quality systems. It's been a fascinating discussion. Just before we wrap up, where can businesses catch up with you on the 2024 exhibition circuit? Are you out and about over? I know we've got Mac coming
We
up
have.
shortly. We've got the Automation UK exhibition in Coventry in June. There's probably
Yeah.
SwagCon. Where are you going to be?
Yeah. So the Mac show, all being well, I'm planning at least one day to visit that show. Same with the SubCon and Smart Factory Expo. I think it's the first year they've coincided, and they're both in the same week at the NEC in adjacent halls, which is fantastic. So definitely planning to be there. Other than that, people can obviously check us out on the smartmanufacture.co.uk website, on LinkedIn. As you know, I'm quite prevalent on LinkedIn. We're always happy to have, a chat with manufacturers, understand what their challenges are. Even if we can't help, we've got a great network UK-wide. So chances are we know somebody that might be able to help them and help them at least start on that Industry 4.0 journey.
Brilliant. Okay, well, that wraps up today's episode. I hope you've enjoyed our discussion, Sarah. Thanks very much for joining me. So, thank you to the listeners or any viewers out there. Look out for the next episode of Insights for Manufacturing. See you next time. Bye-bye.